Let us pray. Confronting God, we know that you love us deeply, that we are precious to you, that you would go to the edge of life and beyond for love of us. We also know that who we are is not a secret to you, that you know us inside and out, that you see every part of us, whether it is bathed in light or cloaked in darkness. Help us as we wrestle with the dark side of who we are. Empower and encourage us as we strive to be your people, people who put love and care before prejudice and preference. Guide us, O God, through the night. This we pray in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this is not the first time that I have preached on Jacob wrestling with God. It's not even the first time that I have preached on it with you as Downtown United. And yet every time that I come to this text, God reveals something new to me. And every time the words of this passage has something to say about the time that we are in. Even though we are very different people doing very different things in a very, very different time. And yet, every time, God is speaking to us, directly to us, in this moment in time. The living word is a special thing that I think we far too often take for granted. But here we are, bearing witness to Jacob wrestling with God through the night. And while it is a fine story on its own, I think it's important that we understand why he is on the shore of the stream Jabbok, why he sends his wives, his maids, his children across to the other side with everything that he owns. Why is he wrestling with God in the first place? Anyone who knows the story of Jacob knows that he is running. That he's been running for a long time. In a very real way, he's running from his brother Esau, someone who Jacob cheated. But in a more real way, Jacob is running from what he had done. Done to his brother, done to his father, done to himself. Before Jacob's father Isaac died, he wanted to bestow a blessing upon his eldest son Esau. Wanting the blessing for himself, Jacob made himself look like Esau to the failing eyes of his father and received that final blessing. Esau was understandably angry, and Jacob was understandably frightened. And so he ran. He ran to escape his brother's wrath. He ran to avoid coming face to face with the horrible thing that he had done. And so we catch up with Jacob on the shores of the stream Jabbok. He knows that his brother and his brother's forces are close. And so he sends messengers with gifts in hopes that he might soften his brother's ire. Unsure if those gifts have been received, he goes even farther and sends his whole family, all that he had left in the world, all that he felt he had received from Isaac's blessing. He sends those over to his brother. And then finally, resting for the night, unsure of what tomorrow will bring. But through the night, something happens. Not just a passing something that might be worthy of note for sharing later, but something life-changing happens to Jacob. In the dark of the night, he is set upon by an unnamed assailant, and they wrestle with one another through the night. The result of this tussle in the sand is that Jacob walks away with the new name Israel. And he is not just walking, but he is limping. And he's not limping from trouble, but towards it, towards his brother's forces, towards a fate that he had accepted. What happens to Jacob through the night changes Jacob so completely that he comes out the other side a different man. a new name, a new direction. But what happened to Jacob through the night, and how can we grow from this story? Well, the person that Jacob wrestled with is accepted by most to be God. That through the night, Jacob wrestled with his Maker and was so changed by that encounter that he turned back to face his brother. But in his wrestling and in his rolling, he was being confronted with God, yes, but also his own fear, his shame over what he had done. Jacob, in his night of wrestling with God, also found himself wrestling with the most broken parts of who he was and what his life was up until that moment. As much as he was wrestling with God, he was wrestling with himself, with the dark side of who he was. The adversary that came in the night just forced him into a physical manifestation of that internal struggle. Once confronted with who he had become, he fought to retake control of the situation and his life. And when dawn's light came, he limped away, a changed man. No longer Jacob running from his past, but Israel facing his future. How many of us can place ourselves in Jacob's story? And I mean both before and after the night of arm bars, chokeholds, and full Nelsons. By this I mean, how many of us are Jacob before he confronts his brokenness? And how many of us are Israel as he walks away from it? Because at any given time, we could be both. And we are both multiple times throughout our lives. We wrestle with our own darkness all the time, whether we want to realize it or not. That probably isn't something that any of us would have a hard time admitting. Sure, we are a broken people. We are struggling and striving to overcome that brokenness. What we might not so readily admit is that sometimes we lose. That maybe more often than we like to admit, we lose to the broken parts of who we are, and we let them guide us in the same way that Jacob's fear and shame led him. And the thing is, we aren't even aware of it sometimes, because it is something that has been a part of us for so long that we didn't even realize that it was there. I'm talking about the hate that lives in our hearts for people that we have never met, for prejudice that causes us to judge a whole group based on stereotypes and anecdotal evidence of generations that have gone on before us. I'm talking about ignorance, homophobia, xenophobia, racism, and sexism guiding the choices that we make as individuals, as groups, as churches. Choices that we have made over the years that we may make in the days to come. We make decisions informed by these parts of ourselves without even realizing that we have done something worthy of God wrestling us to the ground and forcing us to take a long, hard look at who we have become and who we could be tomorrow. And we know when we have allowed ourselves to be influenced by our brokenness. We either know it in the moment and are complicit, or we come to know it when the dawning light of truth shines on who we are and what we have done. We know, just as Jacob knew. And we know, just as Jacob knew, that our brokenness cannot guide us forever. And sometimes we get lucky, like Jacob. Like the Spirit blowing through our kindred in this world, someone calls us on what we have done or what we are doing, and we are forced to wrestle with who we are and who we have become. We are forced, like Jacob, to wrestle who we were to the ground in order to stand in the light as who we might be. That is the good news that we should carry from this reading. That as far and wide as our ignorance and our brokenness leads us, we can face ourselves and turn back in faith. That swallowing our pride doesn't have to mean that we have lost value, either in the world or in the eyes of our God. And that is a really important thing. That God chooses people like Jacob, people who screw up royally, and loves them to wholeness, loves them into their potential. We are no less worthy of God's attention and love. And really, that means that we are no less responsible for responding to God's call to build a kingdom of love, peace, and justice. So what are you wrestling with? Or after hearing this message and taking a good look at yourself, what are you going to be wrestling with tonight? And who will you be tomorrow? Amen.